Shall we? Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the time that's ours this evening to gather here in your name. We want to worship you, and we do pray as tonight we think about the great sacrifice that your Son made in our behalf. I do pray, Lord, that we might grow closer to you. We might appreciate more the great price that was paid. And I pray that all that is said and done would be to your honor and glory. In your name I pray. Amen. We appreciate that. Come thou fount. At this time, I would like you to just think with me as we, in our service this evening, we're going to look at some portions of Scripture. And we're going to sing some songs that I've tried to choose perhaps accordingly in conjunction with the portion of Scripture which we have read. And our whole service tonight is leading up to the observance of the Lord's table. But I know some of you are note takers. And we do have an outline this evening, and the first point would be the prediction. The prediction in Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. If you've got your Bible, may I just encourage you to cast your eyes to the 13th verse of the previous chapter, where it says, "Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths for him, for that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider." The 14th verse especially picturing for us the things that our Savior went through for us. So mistreated, so abused was he that the prophet said his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Let's keep that in mind as we think about what our Savior went through for us. Pick up at verse 4, "Surely he hath borne," of chapter 53, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did not esteem him stricken, smitten of God, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. And by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. The prediction of what was coming. Let's turn to number 316. 316. As we come to the New Testament, we move from the prediction to the institution. The institution of this ordinance. This which signifies and represents that which was predicted in the life of our Savior. Dick Moore, would you please loudly read Luke 22, 14 through 28? Luke 22, 14 through 28. Thank you, Dick. Would you join me in singing number 288? His disciples in that upper room, that he instituted this, which had been prophesied, predicted some 700 years previous to that. After our Lord was crucified, buried, and rose again, you know that he was here seen of men for 40 days. Then he was received up into heaven, and that was witnessed. He didn't just disappear. His followers saw him go to heaven. And 10 days after that was what we refer to as the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came down, lighting upon each of those. It was that visible appearance in, it says, cloven tongues of fire. And those disciples each began to speak in different languages, giving out the gospel in languages that they had no previous knowledge of. And there were all kinds of people from many nations in the city of Jerusalem at that time. And Acts chapter 2 specifically states how amazed these people were to hear these men speak in their own language. This was the true scriptural gift of tongues. It was not this stuff that people refer to today. Biblical scriptural gift of tongues is the ability to give the gospel to someone in another language that you have not previously known. The church was born in Acts chapter 2. And I would like us to consider thirdly here the implementation of this whole observance. And Steve, would you please read Acts 2, 42 through 47. Acts 2, 42 through 47. In those verses which Steve read, it makes mention, I think, maybe a couple of times of breaking bread, and Bible scholars believe that this was not just sitting down for a liverwurst sandwich, but that they were actually observing the Lord's table, that each time they got together, the disciples were observing, they were remembering. And the Lord had said, as often as you do this, you do it in remembrance of me. And when that church was first born, we see one of the first things that was characteristic of the new church was they were very careful to observe this very thing in remembrance of the Lord. I invite you to turn with me to number 256. 256. When the church implemented it, the observance of it was a time of reflection, just as the words of the song that we sang. Christ has for sin atonement made. What a wonderful Savior. We're redeemed, the price is paid. What a wonderful Savior. And that whole song, verse by verse, was just bringing to our attention what our Lord had done in our behalf. And you know, that's what a service like this is to be reflected upon in our hearts. I don't know how much time passed before the goodness of the observance of the Lord's table was tainted. And this next point on the outline, having seen the prediction, the institution of it, the implementation of it in the early church, but we come to number four, wasn't long and there was the distortion of it. Sin always has a way of creeping in. Satan is not content until he ruins the good things that God has given to us. I'm going to ask John if he would please read 1 Corinthians 11, 17 through 22. 1 Corinthians 11, 17 through 22. And here we see the record of the distortion, which it's on the record books of the early churches of our Lord. John?
Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when we come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe them. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. What, have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say unto you?
Dishonoring to the name of the Lord. That institution had become, sorry about that, it was on and then I turned it off. Talk about getting
confused. Thank you, Andrew. The distortion, it was deplorable, the things that were going on there in that church at Corinth. That led me to pick out our next song, which talks about, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts. See if there be some wicked way in me." You know, that's what the observance of the Lord's table is also to include. It says every man is to examine himself. And we need to do that very thing. So let's sing together 497. Well, I trust that is the heart's prayer of each of us. You know, that needs to be our heart's prayer each day. Really, that we just ask the Lord to search us and put his finger on those things that are not honoring and pleasing to him. Well, we've looked at the prediction in Isaiah 53, the institution in Luke 22, the implementation in the early church in Acts 2, the sad distortion recorded in 1 Corinthians 11, but number 5, I would like us to think about our observance. Our observance in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, only here we're going to start at verse 23. And it says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show or proclaim the Lord's death till he come." Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily or in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. Search me, O God. That's what that's all about. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation or judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Why? Because they have had such a distorted approach to the Lord's table. Because there has been such a dishonoring and disrespectful attitude as they have partaken of the elements that have such a high and holy significance to us. And Paul said, it's for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Some, God's just said, come on home. You're doing more harm for me down there. You're doing me no good down there. You just come on home. And he said, that's why some have just died. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home. That you come not together unto condemnation or judgment, and the rest will I set in order when I am come. I trust, as we observe in just a few moments, that our hearts will be right between us and the Lord. I trust that as we approach this evening, as we have been reminded of this very ordinance predicted hundreds of years before, instituted when our Lord was here on earth, adopted almost immediately by the early church, may we not be guilty of distorting in our observance of it, but may our hearts be right before Him. Let's stand and sing number 311. And I'm going to ask the men of the board that are going to be helping me to come forward on the singing of the last verse, 311.